Continuing on, so Christians learn, the children of light, to be content with their lot if the Lord is their master and they're following him. He has control over these things. Jesus said, lay up treasure in heaven, not being covetous and greedy, not trusting. See, he didn't mind monies and moderation or even Zacchaeus having it, as long as you don't trust it instead of God. When it starts to go and you get disturbed and it shows you something's wrong, you haven't submitted. God's testings often with Christians takes different forms. And some he touches that like he did Job. Some of the time it's temporarily. Sometimes it's permanent. That's his business. See, we're used to the American system of liberty and independence. We don't have that with the Lord. We serve a king and a Lord, and we're his servants. We're his children, and we're his slaves. And that means you have to do what the Spirit guides and what the Lord says, not what you want. And different Christians have different lots, and God deals with them differently. He allows them to do things in the world he doesn't allow others. He overall understands. Most people, even Paul said, they shouldn't desire to be rich. It'll drown them in hell. It's a danger there. Okay? And we'll get to some of those, as we've many times. So Paul also said he was warning against materialism and earthly things. The cares of this life, Jesus said, choke the word. These are Christians that were walking with the Lord and going deep. And then the cares of this life. It didn't say the sins of this life. It means they took money, position. They let that interfere with their duty to the Lord. So you can take something innocent. See, things, money, alcohol, other things, they're neutral. They have no sin in them. It's what man does with them that makes them sinful. All things are pure. It's what a man does with them. Objects of this world have no conscience. There's no good or evil. No building, no Christian church, so-called, is holy. If Christians gather in the city dump, two or three of them, that's where God's presence is, and that's the church. The only kingdom of God on earth is in Christians. Yeah, that's the way it is. We're the only ones that are holy before the Lord. We're the temple. No object is blessed. But all of these so-called priests are blessing, it's a bunch of foolishness. If you got a spiritual fellowship and y'all leave and go home, where y'all meet is not holy, has no special standing with God. It's because you gather together, the Lord's presence comes in. Not because it's a beautiful building, okay? So we see he warned. He said, don't set your mind on earthly things, but on heavenly things, spiritual. Get your priority right. Because that's the cares of this life. It causes Christians to fall away and become unfruitful. And we know what happens if they become unfruitful. And then they stop producing the life of Christ and his will, and the branch stops bearing fruit, and the master cuts it off. It's no longer a part of him. He's not drawing from Christ. For without him, we can do nothing. Our life is a spiritual life. It's tied up with our duty and trust in the Lord. So we need to warn people. And Paul does too. The very few times he'll tell people that are rich what the consequences are and what their duty is. You know, one of them, and we might get to it later, he said, if you're rich, he's talking about a Christian, you better be rich in good works. So more given, God requires more from you. It's not to squander on your luxury and self-indulgence. That's the prosperity doctrine. Of course, when they make lots of money, they don't mind giving a tithe because they can do what they want with the 90%. But the law, the word of God, don't even require a tithe for Christians. They should be given more overall. See, he didn't put no legal bondage on it. But they want that legal because then they felt, well, I've paid God off. Now I can live and do as I please. They're deceived. They don't know what it means to trust the Lord and Him being in control. We're stewards and we answer to the Lord for everything. If you're a slave, and that's what he said we are, Paul said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. It means everything you are and has comes under his control. That's what it means. Well, if it doesn't, you have to question your discipleship. And your discipleship means your Christianity. There is no difference between a believer and a disciple. A lot of the false teachers say, well, I'm a believer, I'm saved, I got fire insurance, but the Lord's not Lord now, I'm sort of ruling. That's a doctrine of the devil. Immediately when Paul and them preached the gospel, and it said they believed, and then he said to them, if you continue with this word, you are my disciples, Jesus' disciple indeed. He did not separate believer from disciple. Isn't that interesting? I said many times, in the epistles, less than 20 times, Jesus is referred to as being their Savior. But over 400 times, he's called our Lord. So that ought to tell us something. He has to be both. Okay? We'll come back to it, but in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is a gain. The verse before it was talked about corrupt teachers and having strife and envy and wrangling over God's word, destitute of the truth. He says destitute of the truth. The prosperity people need to read this part that's coming, okay? Destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Well, that's what they teach. You'll prosper, get wealthy and healthy if you serve the Lord. It's a false doctrine. It's extreme. So he said they're destitute of the truth. People that are coveting. See, all things are moderation. But money, goods, people call themselves collectors. But sometimes they're covetous and greedy. They're not satisfied with enough. See, God looks at the heart. They hoard things that they don't even use, that they don't help other people with. It's a form of materialism and covetousness. So everything we are and have, we have to check. We have to keep in moderation and make sure we don't go to an extreme. Because in themselves, the things are not evil. It's what we do with them reveals our character. So those who don't know the truth or pervert the truth, they think that to get godly and prosper in this world is a means to gain and get ahead. Scripture didn't say that. Scripture didn't say that. Sounds much like the prosperity faith doctrine, don't it? And I've been around that years ago and seeing what it leads to. These same people, 20 years later, all they're talking about is their bigger cars and houses and making money. There's not a spiritual drop in them. They're selfish. Where is the cross? Where's the taking up the cross daily? Where's the sacrifice for the Lord? They think they're supposed to prosper. I'm a king's kid. Well, not in this world. You don't live like the world, or you could be judged with the world. So let's go over these verses again. 1 Timothy, like I said, we'll read on. It's worth reading because we're talking about the impossibility of rich people making it in heaven. And very few Christians are in that. And if they're going to make it, they have to be very careful. That's why Paul said you should not desire it. If you desire it, this is the danger, he said. It'll lead you away from God. If you get preoccupied with money and financial success and materialism, okay? Let's read 5 through 11. It's worth reading. Wrangling of men's corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Some translations say withdraw from those people. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. See, he's talking about the spiritual state. For we brought nothing into this world, and we're not going to carry anything out. Having food and raiment, be content. Oh my gracious, that shames us sometimes. That's saying that some of the street people that are supported by some missions and stuff that come to the Lord, they still live on the street temporarily. And if they're Christians, what is the Lord's word to them? If you've got food and clothing, be content. Well, you don't find most Christians feeling that. We got to be careful. God might put you in that situation. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare and many harmful and foolish lusts which drown men in hell or perdition, damnation. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. I've heard people often say the love of money is the root of all evil. Scripture doesn't say that. It says it's a root of many evils. And some have strayed from the faith. True Christians, the cares of this life, they were Christians that were maturing and getting, but they got caught up into the world system. They strayed from the faith in their greediness, that's their coveting. They're not satisfied. They're not content with their lot and where the Lord has placed them. And they pierced themselves with many sorrows. I'll read this verse. People forget this verse. But you, O man, he's talking to the Christian. He's talking to Timothy and them. Flee these things. What things? What he just talked about. Greed, covetousness, not being content in this world, not being content with spiritual matters. Measuring your life by how much you have is no proof of God's favor. He'll let the devil prosper people. If they're wicked, it'll keep them wicked. See, so it is no sign of God's prosperity as any sign of godliness. Paul warned about that. He said, God has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. He didn't say they all became rich and had money. Like I said, most of the Christian slaves lived and died that way. So people distort the word of God. And people don't understand God can do what he pleases with his own. And he tests us and he puts us. And so our lots may change according to God's wisdom. But if we're spiritual and follow the Lord, that should not change. Okay? It says, flee those things, greed, not being content, thinking godliness is gain. My prosperity is a sign of my spirituality in the world. He said, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. You can't lay hold on eternal life if you're greedy, if you're not content, if you love money, if you're coveting. And we have a lot of people that claim to be Christians that are doing exactly those things. They're going to be deceived and speechless at judgment day. Okay? So rich Christians have a duty to be rich in good works. The main purpose of that wealth is to support poor Christians and God's various ministries. When he talks about God is able to turn grace to you, that you could, that's Christians that have given ministries. God gives money to them. It's not to squander on themselves and luxury and buy another car and another house. It wasn't for self-indulgence. He increases it for the love of the body of Christ, to help the poor Christians, to help ministries. They interpret all that, he makes me rich that I can live in. They brag. One famous known false prophet, he says he's worth $1 billion. He's near 90. How is he going to explain to God when he drops dead? See? He's covetous, he's greedy, materialism. And he thinks he's going to be at the right hand of the Lord because he has so much money. Isn't that something? Destitute of the truth. A false prophet preaching a false gospel. So we have to be careful, okay? We can live. If you're a doctor, a lawyer, people whose professions make money, then you can live within moderation. But you still don't need 8 houses and 20 cars and squandering stuff. See, it shows if you do that, you're not a good steward and you're owned by God. And you're going to give an account for that. So that's why it says, if you're rich in this world, be rich in good works. Be sure you're not using it for self-indulgence, for luxury, for squandering on your earthly desires, materialism, covetousness. See, that's what it is. Because he said it's impossible to lay hold of eternal life if you're covetous and self-seeking. The demon god of money, Mammon, cannot be worshipped with God. Rich have to go a greater duty and responsibility to God if they're going to stay with him. That's why Paul said, look at your calling. Not many educated, super wise, famous, and rich is implied enough. They're not Christians because they have to come down. They have to give up things of the world. Where is self-denial? Where is taking up the cross daily, following him? Where is sacrificing? Taking up the cross daily means that God's will takes precedent over your will. And wherever in your life you want to do something and the Lord dictates something else, you give up your will and die to it and you follow the Lord. Or you're not a true child of God and you're not a slave as he sees you. So we need to understand that. So people don't take up the cross. You don't hear the prosperity people talk much about self-denial and the cross life and suffering for the Lord. That don't come out of them. See, because they have a false gospel. Okay? Slaves cannot squander their master's wealth or luxury that he has. They cannot squander it on luxury and self-love. It's stealing. They're stealing from the master. Christians are children of God, yet in our duty and responsibility, we're slaves. Remember, Paul said to the Christian that is not a slave in the world, he said, you're the Lord's slave. And he told this Christian slave, you're the Lord's free man. Your life is guided by his providence. And unless he moves you, that's the state he wants you in. People can't understand that. The American Christian and a European, they believe in independence and wealth and pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. The problem is it's against the Lord. That may be nice in this world, but you can't use that with the Lord. Pursuit of happiness, that's finding your life. And Jesus said, if you find your life, you'll lose it eternally. We have to give up our life and follow the Lord. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Okay. 1 Timothy, we're still there. 6, same chapter. We'll go back to 1 and 2. Let as many servants, and the word there means slaves, that are under the yoke, with the yoke of slavery, count their masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine will not be blasphemed. They're not to rebel. Yeah, people teach rebellion and run away. God says it's evil for a Christian. See, because he has control over them. And if they do it against his will, they're in trouble. For those who have believing masters. Oh, that just goes against people. How can a Christian own another Christian? They could. And they did. And God and the apostles did not tell people to free your Christian slave. Isn't that astounding? But he warned the masters. If you have believing masters, well, here he didn't warn them. He's telling the Christian slave, if you have a Christian master, let them not despise them because they are brethren. but rather serve them because they are being a benefit of your life and your work and they're beloved of God. Teach and exhort these things. Do you hear anybody teaching this? Oh, no. You can't be a Christian master. Well, God said otherwise. Even under the law, he allowed it. It may not be the best system, but rather than have a license to sin, you need to be under control by someone. Rather than being a burning the cities and rioting and living a wicked life, you are better off having a master that controls you. Because the Lord is the master of us all, and we're all slaves. People don't want to hear that. Yeah, they come up, they conveniently forget the truth. So the American democracy and system doesn't necessarily mean God approves it all. He accepts all kinds of government as long as they punish evildoers in society. If they punish evildoers, that's what he said. He didn't say rehabilitate them. He said they bear the sword not in vain. The sword, Roman sword, was to put to death criminals for. And Paul said you to do that. That government like that, that maintains order in society, is a minister of God. It means it's his will. They may be wicked people that run it, but it's God's will to maintain order in society and peace, because the gospel can be better taught and getting out during a time of peace than war, okay? Titus chapter 2, 9 and 10. You don't ever hear people quoting this one, do you? Exhort slaves. The word is not servant, it's slaves. Exhort means to warn, admonish them. Exhorting is preaching and teaching to stir people up to the truth. Evangelist does a lot of exhorting, okay? To be obedient to their own masters. Isn't that something? And it didn't say whether they were Christian or not in this context. Be obedient. Didn't say run away and rebel. To be well-pleasing in all things and not answering back to them. You have to show the authority that they are controlled over you. Your government leaders, he warned against speaking openly evil against a mob or a crowd. He said to be careful because the authority they're in. And he said, don't steal from your masters if you're slaves, okay? See, slaves think that they have a right because they're in a situation they shouldn't be in. And so that's why people think they have a right to steal. They don't get paid enough at work. My father was like that. He worked for the railroad. But every now and then, he'd steal a hammer or an object, and he'd feel justified because they don't pay me enough. People do that, and they think they owe me. God don't look at it that way, okay? But showing all good trustfulness and stewardship, that you may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Read those scriptures, and then you try to measure that with your political system. You'll see the kingdom of God is a little different than the kingdom of man. Even in Ephesians 4:1, Paul said himself, he said, I am a prisoner of the Lord. And he was probably the most spiritual person on earth at that time. So that's the time we live in. A lot of false teachers, false gospels, and it's going to get worse, okay? And then we're going to change the subject, Peter does. And so Peter says to him, behold, we've left everything for you and to follow you. Isn't that interesting? And he's implying, what do we get? I mean, he was. Well, there's a truth to it. To follow the Lord, there's certain rewards. And certain things God blesses us with. Okay. 29. This is another perverted scripture by the prosperity people. Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left houses. He's talking about disciples, them, who has left a house. or brothers, sisters, mother, father, or children, or your farms, your family, and your occupation, and what you own, for my sake and for the gospel. That's what the apostles did. Don't mean they forsook them and never contact. It meant in preference they served. Sometimes the other disciples that weren't of the 12, they would leave and come back and serve and go back to their families. And that was okay, as long as their priority was to be at the Lord's disposal whenever he wants them. But the 12 had to live with him 3.5 years. But at times, Peter was living with in his either his own house or his mother-in-law's house. And Jesus stayed there with him at times. He's talking about priority. Don't let family, friends, anything stand between you and the Lord's will, or you're not a Christian and you're not a disciple. He tries to tell people that. How can you be my disciple? He said, why call me Lord, Lord, if you don't do what I tell you? He knows he means I'm not your Lord. You're not my disciple. You don't understand what it means to be regenerated and to be owned by the Lord and be faithful to him in this life, in this probation. This testing is what he's talking about. But he says in verse 30, okay, another one that's often misquoted by the prosperity people, but he will receive 100-fold or 100 times as much now in the present age. What will we receive? Houses and brothers and sisters. He didn't mean mansions and lots of money. But he says, and children and farms, places to stay, along with persecution in this life. The true disciple has to fight persecution and opposition. And in the age to come, eternal life. Okay. What is he saying? The houses. He's talking about the Christian family. If you go out, the Christian is your disciple. God will raise up people and Christians. Mary Magdalene and some friends of hers, whom seven demons were cast, they followed Jesus and ministered to their needs at times when they were in certain areas. So they mended their clothes. They provided food because they were disciples. They ministered a different way. So they weren't all trusting in the heathen. God's providence can move anybody. He owns everything. So he didn't mean that they're going to receive 100-fold money. I hear the false prosperity people. If you give money, you get money. You plant corn, you get corn. That is not necessarily true, and it's not spiritually. God said when you have a feast or a party, he told them there, invite the poor people. He said, you've been inviting the rich, and they just return the favor. A lot of Christians like that. They only want to mingle with people who got money like them because it shows at heart they're hypocrites. They show favoritism. The Lord said, invite people that can't repay you. They're poor, or they barely make a living. He said, that would apply to Paul's time with slaves, Christian slaves. You that got money in a church, invite them over. And don't expect anything because they're owned by someone. They don't have anything of their own. And what did Jesus say? He didn't say you'll get it back in this life. He said you will be rewarded in the resurrection of the just. He didn't say you'll be rewarded here in everything you do for people. Or we wouldn't store up heaven, treasure. You get to heaven, you ain't going to have nothing if you get everything here. But that's what the false prosperity people teach. Yeah, we'll tithe and we'll give money because we expect 100-fold. They're no better than a banker charging interest, huh? They're materialistic. Paul called it covetousness. And he said, and you know, no covetous person will enter heaven. He's an idolater. He worships money. Well, so we got lots and lots of, out of 2 billion people in the world that claim to be Christians, 99% or more don't even know the Lord. And Jesus is going to tell them, I never knew you. You didn't do the will of my Father. and you're lawless, and he cast them into outer darkness. So that's most people who claim to be Christians. They get another answer from the Lord. Let's go ahead and stop here, because the next verse I want to spend some time on, it has several points or interpretations. Some scriptures the scholars argue over, and you think if they know Greek and Hebrew in the original, and they're brilliant, and they can't come to the same consensus, then we have to form our own opinion of the light that we've been given. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Remind us that we are yours all the time, and to do your will and expect you to come. And if you don't come at your rapture, you'll come for us individually, and we'll give an answer to you at the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.